Okay, the next talk is Julius from the SHA conference organizers here to show us behind the scenes of a hacker conference.
So, hi all. Normally I'm not on stage. It's for me, it's my first time actually, so be aware. For those that don't know anything about SHA, just been here for the EMF, still hacking anyway. It's a big, large conference, 3,600 attendees on the Scouting Landgoed back in Holland. We had around the fastest internet on a camp possible at the time. I'm not sure how fast it is here, but it was fast down there. It's a five-day festival. It's similar to EMF, but it's way bigger and it also requires a lot of experience and, well, I'll tell you about it on what it's gonna be. Who am I? My name is Julius. This is my best picture they could get for me. I'm the secretary of IFCAT. I'm just joined around December 2015, just when they really started to get off. And I've been with IFCAT ever since. And basically, I'm gonna tell you a bit about how things were gonna progress, what we experienced, the good parts, the bad parts, and everything else. A bit of history. Basically, the Dutch hacker community goes a long way. I couldn't find all the pictures of all the events. The ones that I do know is HAR, OHM, and SHA. At HAR, that was back in 2009, if I'm correct. They had a great event and they wanted to start OHM 2013. But to start OHM 2013, it meant a lot of legal things, a lot of professionalism. So eventually, starting with OHM 2013, we had a proper foundation. Some things did go wrong, some things did go right at OHM. And because of that, it took us almost 5 years to get still hacking anyway. And the name refers a bit to the fact that no matter what goes in our path, no matter what happens, we're still hacking anyway. But to say that organizing an event is easy, no. It's a lot of things that will come in your way, a lot of bike shedding, a lot of talking, a lot of communication. You have a lot of paperwork, you have a lot of things. You cannot simply organize an event just like that. For the organization, we had around 35 teams all working together. I colored them here so you can see a bit what the teams are a bit like. We had, for example, we had the bar food court vendors grouped together. We had the content, decoration, design, logistics was basically, they split themselves up because they were too big. We had the drama, we had project lighting, we had all kinds of people working on making SHA possible. That also meant that some teams were completely filled with people. Most of the time Nock said, no, we have enough volunteers. But it also meant that some teams were understaffed. One of the things that I found out late, just during the event, was that we had a really short understaffing on qualified parking personnel. So we either had to grab outside professionals, or I had to stand there 10 hours in the full sun, just making sure that traffic got directed where they have to be. Communication. One of the things that you have to do at the camp is communication. That's basically the key value. If you want to know who is what doing what, you need to communicate. At SHA we had a lot of communications. We had our own Orga Wiki, which meant that people knew who was in what team. We had an Etherpad. Everything that was set on the mumble, they got written down on in Etherpad. Everyone could change it. Things, shopping lists were put on an Etherpad. Well, basically all my paperwork was mostly on Etherpad. We had our own mumble because most people were outside the country. We had Germans, we had a Finnish guy who was helping out. We had people here from the UK, and to communicate with each other, well, we could use Skype, but with more than 100 people on Skype, it doesn't work. So we used Mumble for that. For file sharing, a similar issue, we used C-File. Some used the old-fashioned telephone, some used the Skype. If you could not communicate through IRC, we used those things. A lot of emails. I don't know exactly how many emails that were sent to me and to others, but I believe InfoDesk got around 1,500 emails just sent to them. One of the good things was for our search team, or basically our security team, we used a system called FEAR. It's open source and it's basically a lightweight Kanban board where people could quickly put things on, and for every incident that we had, we could later see what was really going on. Besides that, we had many more things, too many to list. We had Kanban boards, we had Google Docs. There was just so many ways of communicating with each other. Sometimes it surprised me. When you start an event, first things first, you need to get a field. And when I say a field, you need a field that gets big enough. And also you need to get teams to get organized. At SHA, they started here with OM 2016, even before that, they started at the CCC and basically tried to get people together. But getting people together doesn't work. You also need to get them out on the field, experience what it is on the field, how it would look like, where will things be placed. One of the things we had for as an idea was to put an HQ down. Eventually we stripped it and just went for basic equipment and tents. You have to stick with the theme. The thing that we had and that took a really long time was getting a good team together. People were thinking, then they got shuffled around. I got 5 different stickers with 5 different teams on them. But eventually when you have a team, you have a field, and then you have a moment where you say, well, you know, this is the team that we have. Will we be able to commit ourselves to actually build an event? Because you have ideas, you have things, but you have to have a go or no-go moment. I took this picture, and this one is from the deciding field day. It was August 2016, like less than a year from the event. And by then we said, okay, are we going to do it or are we not? We went to the field down there. We had a camping, people slept there. We measured the whole field out. We said eventually, we asked everyone like, yeah, would you like to be on this field? And everyone just said yes. But when you have all these things, always expect the unexpected, because you think everything goes smoothly until you have issues or things that just go wrong. Later on that. When you have a field and you have an agreement, you need to go official. On the right side, that's our lead guy. He went to the municipality. He said, "Well, you know, we want to make a an event. Yes, we can. All kinds of things." And the first thing he had to do was sign a paper, and then things get official. As soon as you sign the paper, there's a 12-week marker starting where the municipality will ask you a lot of questions, where you have to prove that you can actually start an event, where you can show that you have known about all kinds of things, about vendors, about safety plans, about tents, where they're going to be. We send a lot of agreements with vendors. We had to send licenses for broadcasting. We had a radio channel down there, so they had to get licenses. We had the special radios, the Tatra phones. They needed to get licenses. For the lasers, we need to get a NOTAM, so another organization had to look into it. We had sponsors, the badges, they had to do, you had to pay import taxes, so we had to send the letters to various people. Basically, a lot of paperwork is just sending stuff to the, to municipalities, to governments, and saying, yes, we are doing it, yes, we are official. And when they have questions, you have to answer them within 3 or 4 weeks, else your stuff doesn't get through and you have to try it again. But we got there. Also, one thing that we had to get was official licenses for the people that were on the parking. If you wanted to stand on a public road, you need to get a license. And for that, you need to speak Dutch and you need to do all kinds of things. So yeah. We had 16 people signed up, and out of the 16 people, only 3 actually went through the whole process of actually being out there and standing around and be happy. Well, another thing you have to do besides all the paperwork is a promotion. You want to make people known. So everyone was basically doing a big sweatshop, sending out paperwork. We sent, I think, 100 of these boxes all the way to Germany. We sent them all the way around the world. Every hacker camp basically got one of these boxes. And we got a lot of feedback from them. When you want to promote yourself, make sure that people know where you are, when you start, and also when the ticket sale starts. Because I heard people saying, yeah, well, I know you were doing a ticket sale, but you were already sold out when I heard about it. And one moment, when everything starts falling together, you start to go more and more, you start to feel the stress out. The thing is, you will see that the event will basically, you get some sort of momentum going. The more you go into that event, the more you see the things that you're gonna do, the closer you get, the more stressful you get, because if something goes wrong, the deadlines are coming closer and closer. We're happy that we got badges all the way from China. They are really great. They got them arranged. Someone flew all the way to China just to make sure that they were actually being made. The teams were showing results. This picture was from the last meeting that we had. They had a really nice design. They had everyone was showing off the badges, the badge prototypes. Decoration was showing these lights, were eventually later seemed to be working until the scene, until everything got wet. And we also had merchandise coming up, so we could have a final check on what's going doing, what has to be done. And the good thing about it is the closer you get to the event, the more cohesive the teams are going to be. So when you ask it, when I ask, for example, to the info desk, well, I want to have a map with all the villages listed on it. Within an hour, I got a map with all the villages listed on it. When I asked the batch team, can you give me this and this application? They said, okay, I will give it. And an hour, I got it. So the teams were really focused on their specific job, their specific task, and things were basically rolling well. And we're doing great. And then the bike shedding happened. This is one of the many bike sheds that I had to deal with as an IFCAT team lead. This thing is a sauna. Originally, they wanted to import the sauna all the way from Finland, with basically building the whole thing down, tearing the whole thing down in Finland, building it up for Shah, and then 5 days later get it back shipped out. Logistic didn't like it so much because that meant too much trouble for them, and it also meant that they would waste various resources on it. So the thing from Finland got scrapped. Then they wanted to build a huge tent and basically build a sauna out of it. Safety didn't like it so much. They were like afraid that if the tent got on fire, you have people inside a burning tent, and they were not fireproof, and they had to be registered with the permits. So yeah, got scrapped that one too. And then they said, well, you know, we're gonna bring our own sauna, but it has charcoal in it. Well, we had an issue with charcoal on the field. We're allowed to use gas or electricity. So yeah, safety sent the message again, then came back to project lighting, then came back to me, and then I had to say, sorry guys, you're not gonna do it, but there was an alternative. Somehow, the guys finally managed to get a sauna on the field, which they promised the safety guy, you know, here's the sauna, you can use it for the night, and we don't talk about it. This sauna was rented out, and it was rented out, it was on electricity, and things still happened anyway. It doesn't matter how many bag sheds you do, still, if you want to have it done, you will have it done. Another thing that we had to do a lot of bike shedding with was the coin vendors. The coin machine, we got our treasurer got a message 5 days before the event that the coin vendor would not supply the coin machines because they feared that someone would enter the machine, hack them, and then they could not use the machine on other festivals anymore. So basically, it meant a lot of bike shedding front and back and messages. Why are you not supplying? We paid for it. And then our treasurer said, well, you know, screw it. I cannot deal with vendors that that don't want to have a free free test of their stuff. So we get another supplier, and got a link to the email, send it out, and never got a reply of it again. So the competitor delivered. We had one key when we got the machine. We got around 25 keys when the machine left the site. So apparently someone was really busy with cloning keys. Although it was a good machine, we had a problem with it. Originally, we wanted to have red and blue coins for the nominations, but the machine couldn't handle the red coins and was spitting out basically all its stuff. So we had suddenly had red coins distributed everywhere, and then we had to change it to another coin. The vendor didn't like to have all those coins. They didn't have those coins. They had to make them just for us. We wanted 150K. In the end, we got 100K yellow coins. And then after the first opening talk, I was sitting behind the machine, constantly refilling the machine because it could only handle 2,000 coins, and everyone wanted to drink and have food and have a happy time. So yeah, the machine broke down twice during the day one because it just simply could not handle all the coins being throughputted through there. After that, we found out the coins were also static, so they clittered to each other. So every 3 to 4 hours, someone rang the doorbell. I had to go out, give it a good knock on the machine, spray some lubricant in there, and then the thing would get rolling again. And when I was behind the machine, people would use the machine and then stick their hands in because they were afraid that the coins would fall out. And then I tickled them, and yeah, sometimes I got a really, yeah, and then you hear on the front side, you hear, the machine is alive. And yeah, worked pretty well, and then sometimes they came through the back and then security said, oh, you cannot enter because someone busy down there. But and then they're like, oh yeah, that's what happens. It's just not the machine is alive with a lot of pressure on. No, there's just a human in there refilling the machine. When you get to day day, there's a lot of things to do and also a lot of things you don't expect. For us, the thing that we didn't expect was the family village totally under the water. We had a lot of thought about it. Eventually, we said to the orca field, we put all the family village to the orca field and left the family village basically untouched. In the end, it was a good sign because the orca people would mingle in with the rest of the villages. On the other hand, we had to do some, you know, shuffling of teams all the way around. The pictures that I have here, they're pictures that I took during the build-up phase, which was basically almost day minus six or day minus seven when we just arrived there. And I have to say, the picture on the right, that's the only one with the full, that basically had the full gear on them. The rest were just wearing high vest suits and steel booth. Some other pictures I got from the safety crew. They bought a lot of, because we were in a harbor, the harbor team had to supply from the municipality vests, swimming vests, or some equipment for those that couldn't swim. So they bought, I think they bought the whole store out just to make sure that that they got enough stock. We need to have special safety vests for during the night when we're directing traffic. Every stage needed to have some sort of loudspeaker, so we had a lot of megaphones. The municipality required that we had 300 meters of fire hose, so we bought it. We had a special sticker, move your car or it will end up in a ditch. I don't think we did it actually, but I know that logistics was very happy to do it to some old cars. In the middle, police came. They saw all the nice funny things on our buggies and they wanted some. Unfortunately, they ran out and this was the only thing they had left. During the event itself, wonderful event. I have not seen everything. Most of the time I just was behind stage. These pictures are mostly memories that they put on Flickr. The Chunk one, from what I heard, they basically tried to DDoS the machine. They tried to DDoS the machine just to get the picture on screen. Nock has a nice write-up about it. The SHA logo, Deco just did a fantastic job on getting everything on time, and especially on some very short time where we sometimes thought, you know, this is not going to happen, and it still happened anyway. The aftermath, yeah. After you have the event, you know, you have to clean up everything. When I started walking around, the first thing I did was go to the POC tent and recover my clicker. I was wondering how many mosquitoes and vermin they actually destroyed in their in the things, and they said around 4,800. What was it again? 4,800 wasps that were exterminated through their to the electronic disposal unit. We got a lot of fantastic positive press. I talked with Jenny from Hackaday, and she said, well, you know, I love how you run the event. Show us this year at the EMF how you actually did it, because people have to know how these camps are actually made. So that's how we got here. We had a great event, no real difficulties after with people burning out, or we had some things, people that were like borderline, but I have to be happy that I had a really great team working on that event. And for the rest, yeah, well, I haven't seen any talk. All I did was just walk around, make sure that things were delivered on time, make sure that people were going around. You don't have any moment during your whole event to watch something. I haven't seen Jonty's around. I've seen Russ running and screaming and yelling and making sure that things were delivered. And yeah, you don't see anything unless you go on YouTube or something like that. I did meet a lot of people. A lot of people, when I just walked from A to B or when I had to do something else, you meet a lot of crew, you meet a lot of people, you make some new friends. This year, for example, I'm running the postal office with some people from England. After the event, basically, yeah, you do a lot of things, and you think, well, you know, you just pack it up, ship it out, you tear it down completely, and after that, the grass is green, and nobody will ever notice that there was an event at all. But things don't always go to plan, when, especially after an event, you still, as a secretary, you still got things to do. This was a nice picture that I had taken from the logistics team. They said, well, you know, return everything, because after we wanted, they kept track of what went out and what went back in. And they said, no hoarding, because we were limited on equipment. And they said, return everything, even duct tape. Well, no. There's still 17, this is the list of things that still got missing. Around 40 bags of tie wraps, 17 rolls duct tape, which people just ignored the sign and just got rid of it. Some radios, the Sligo cards, so basically for the Horeca, never got returned. Umbrellas, markers, lost and found items, and one of the things was my inflatable unicorn that I brought there. It was like a gigantic 2 meter big unicorn, and I gave it to Deco, and later it disappeared, and most likely Deco got it because I was looking at Hackaday, and then suddenly I saw this. So apparently someone found it in the Deco shed and transferred it to the next Congress, and Hackaday made a nice picture out of it. I don't know where it is now, but I do know that the police actually liked these things so much that got a picture last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, this one, where they actually got a hold of 35 unicorns, inflatable unicorns. So next time when we talk with the police, I'll ask if they still need some more unicorns on their on the car. Yeah, besides that, after event, things still have to be done by the foundation. We got 3 speeding tickets, all from the same guy who sped around, I think it was 57 in the place where he was supposed to be driving 50. So we got 3 tickets of that. Unfortunately, we don't know who it was, but if you know, if you have seen yourself in the mirror with a white flash, please do come. We'll make arrangements for that. We got a lot of spammers, mostly TP tents, promotion materials. I had to ask Nock to shut down the InfoDesk mailing list because it was just getting totally spammed with all kinds of commercial items that I could think of. We had our taxes. When you do an event like this, you always have to have taxes. And luckily enough, most of the taxes they got back from this year. So we made a bit of, we could get some money back out of it. We had lost and found. People always lose their stuff. Most of the things got returned. There were a couple of things that we couldn't find. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know where they went, and I always say someone dropped in TARDIS and went off with it. You always get, when you're planning an event like this, always get some overstock, things that won't get sold. We had these t-shirts, we had all kinds of sizes. We thought, you know, we were making a lot of them so that we can supply them. I still still getting some overstock from people that say, well, you know, we have a badge that's broken, or we have something, and yeah. We're lucky this year we basically got rid of everything. And also most of the things were donations to hackerspaces. I know some hackerspaces, especially all hackerspaces in Holland, currently have a full, a full bag full of plastic cups. So nobody was ever in shortage of cups. All the things that we had in logistics, we cannot store them. So they went all as donations to all the hackerspaces. We could fund a whole new hackerspaces with all kind of equipment just to get them up. Well, I learned a lot of things with it. The main things I put over here, some of the things is like have a good supportive family, friends, and other things. Don't try to overdo yourself. And communication is key. Things I should improve on. This was basically a couple of things that people said to me. Yeah, well, I should do it for the next event. And I will take the advice that the teams gave us into consideration for the next event. And yeah, well, the question I get asked is, would I ever do it again? And when people ask me that question, I say yes, and I hope you also do the same thing. Woo! Thanks.
Okay. The next talk is coming up soon, so questions will be in the bar later. So thank you. Thank you very much.